A very good morning on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Yevamos Kuf Gimel, Yevamos 103a, pagination is 205, nearing the end of the Masechta, counting up from the bottom about 20 lines or 15 lines. At the end of a line of two dots, Min Ho'arkuva, from the knee, Ulamaila, and above, is psula according to the Mishnah. We're referring to the case of chalitza, where the woman is going to remove the shoe from her brother-in-law's foot. And we're told that if the man has an abnormality, that he doesn't have a full leg, so it depends where it's cut off, whether he's going to be able to do the chalitza. If he's missing from the knee up, so then they're not going to be able to do the chalitza, because the pasuk says, "V'cholza na'alo me'al raglo." The shoe has to be removed from his leg. And the Mishnah is maintaining that the knee and up is not called leg. It has a different name. We know it's called yerech, it's called shok. There are other names. Once you go, the knee and above is called thigh. It's not called leg. It's only below the knee that it's called leg. And therefore, if the leg exists, any part of it below the knee, then one can affix the shoe of sorts to that part and do the chalitza. But otherwise, the regal is missing and chalitza is not possible to be done with that brother. The Gemara asks, Masiv Rav Kana, we have a problem here, because we have psukim that seem to indicate that the upper leg is also called regel, in which case, v'cholza na'alo me'al raglo, to take the shoe off his leg, would still qualify. We would affix the shoe to that part of the leg, and it would qualify if indeed it's called regel. For example, Pasuk in Chumash Devarim, uvishil yasa hayotzes mibein raglo, referring to birthing, it comes out from between her ragleho, her legs. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, b'sha shekoras leileid noetzes ikvea biarkoseha, when a woman is in the birthing process, she lifts up her ankles and brings them up towards her thighs, violetus, and therefore the birthing process happens through what is called ragleha, her lower leg, even though it's not coming from her lower leg, but her lower leg adjoins the upper leg, what we call thigh, and therefore the birthing is coming from there. The Gemara continues and gives another group of questions. If you skip a line, let's do two of them. Tashema vayavo Shaul lahaseches raglov. Shaul went into the cave in the famous incident with David, where David was already in the cave and Shaul walked in. Lahaseches raglov is referring to relieving himself using the bathroom. And it's talking about regel. And if regel is the lower leg, it doesn't make sense, because one's bodily function is by the upper leg, if you're going to use such a phrase. And the Gemara says, Lishna ma'alya, it's trying to talk clean. It's the proper way to talk. It's a borrowed term. But that part of the body, legally, is not called regel. This is a throwback to the discussion that we had in the beginning of Maseches Psachim, that a person is supposed to talk in a clean way, and that's why it's referred to relieving himself using the word regel, but it's a borrowed term. Legally, that part of the body is not called regel. Skip a line, and we have another example of this question. Bein ragleha, referring to Yael in the story of salvation in which she killed Sisera, the enemy general. So she had relations with Sisera, the general, between her legs, between ragleha. And again, we have a problem here. If the upper leg is not called regel, What kind of terminology is that? And again, the Gemara says, Lishna ma'alya, we're trying to talk clean. It's a borrowed term, but the upper leg legally is not called regel. And therefore, when it says, V'chaltzanalo me'araglo, that the shoe has to be taken from his regel, it's only talking below the knee, and he still has to have some of that body part in order to be able to do chalitza. Once we entered into the topic of Bein Ragleha, between her legs, of Yael's relations with Sisera, the Gemara pauses from our topic of Yibum Chalitza and launches into a discussion regarding Yael and her relations with Sisera. The basic story is recounted in the fourth and fifth chapters of the book of Shoftim. And we find out over there, the leader of the generation was Devorah the prophetess. And they had to greet in battle Sisera and his tremendous army. Hashem granted the Jews tremendous success. And Sisera nos biraglov. Sisera was running away, trying to escape. And Yael, this woman, who becomes the heroine of the story, greets him and invites him into her tent. And she's going to do away with him. And she had a specific strategy. When he asked for water, she purposely gave him heavy milk to make him drowsy. And then she offered herself, her services, if you will, to have relations with him in order to weaken him further. He's a general, he's a strong man, and he was in war mode. His body must have been in a very strong type of application. And the Gemara here says, Am Rabbi Yechanan Sheva Be'ilos Bo'al Oso Rosha Be'oso Hayom. Sisera had relations with Yael 7 times in this story. Shenemar, as the Pasuk recounts, it keeps repeating the event, indicating that it happened multiple times. So the Gemara, one line up from the bottom, at the end of the line, asks, V'hokam ishanyo me'avera. Isn't Yael benefiting from this avera? And we wonder what exactly the Gemara is asking. Tosfos points out that the Gemara is not asking how could she be with him, because we understood karka olam hi, that she was passive on the one hand, just like Esther in her story. On the other hand, Yoel clearly took initiative. Shedalto bedivorim, she had to appease him in order to encourage him to do this, because she had an agenda. She wanted to weaken him. And especially, just as an editorial note, I mean, to get him to do it 7 times, to totally weaken this warrior, she presumably had to take some sort of initiative of encouragement. And that's not what we're asking about. It seems that all of that is understood, that she was mechaven l'shem shamayim, she had the right intent, and she needed to do away with this general, and she needed to be able to kill him, which she actually goes ahead and does. She knocks a peg of the tent into his head, killing him. But the question of the Gemara is, V'hokam ishanya me'avera, wasn't she benefiting from the avera? And Tosfos says that this is really coming in the middle of a conversation. The conversation is found in the Gemara in Nazir and in the Gemara in Hurrius, in which the Gemara over there says that she should be compared to the women of the tent, to Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah, and that on one level she is equal or greater because they created the Jewish people, But the Jewish people's survival, so to speak, was called into question, and Yael stood up and did what she needed to do away with the enemy. Yael, on one level, is considered greater, as the pasuk says, "Tivorach minoshim Yael eshes chever akeni." Minoshim ba'ohel tivorach. On one level, Yael is greater than the imahos, because the imahos were with their husbands normally, and they benefited from the relations. It was a pleasant experience. Yael, on the other hand, it was a very objectionable experience. And on that conversation, on that contrast, comparison with the imahos, with the mothers of Klal Yisrael, who founded the nation, the Gemara is asking, Valkamasanya me Avera, she's also benefiting from the Avera. Good, she had a good reason to do the Avera, and we need to know when such a reason might apply. But assuming she was right, but how do you say that she didn't benefit? She benefited, didn't she? Amar Rabbi Yechonah Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochi, Kol Tavosan Shal Rishoyim Rahi Eitzal Tzadikim. If you have a righteous person, then getting something from the Rasha, from the wicked person, is bad for him. She has no benefit. It was an objectionable experience. She did the act. She did what she needed to do. She played her part well. But to her, it was objectionable. And that's why she's praised so greatly that she did such an act and it was objectionable to her to save the Jewish people. And that's being compared to the imahos that did such an act to have children, but they were doing it in a positive, pleasant way with their husbands. As the Gemara says, about seven lines down, Dikashodi bazuhama, because he's putting into her something very objectionable. And the Gemara develops that on a more esoteric, spiritual level, but even on a basic physical level, we could appreciate the words of the Gemara. Yoel found this act totally objectionable, whatever her legal reasons for doing it were, but certainly when we start getting into how much she should be praised, it makes sense that her praise on one dimension is even greater than the imahos, again, as the pasuk says, Tevorach minoshim ba'ohel tevorach, she's praised even greater than the women of the tent. Yashikoach, thank you for joining.